Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll read from verse 17. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking upon them, Jesus said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Amen. Amen. This is quite a well-known passage of the rich young ruler, and we're going to just look at it and dissect it a little bit and try to gain a little bit of insight into what Jesus is trying to teach us here in this text. This rich young ruler, right, he comes to the Lord, and he's a good kid. Right, he's pretty much done everything well his whole life. That's pretty rare to say, right? I think if we were come to the Lord and the Lord were to ask us, you know, about how we lived our life, we probably could not have answered as well as this rich young ruler did. But that's not the key to getting to heaven, you know, because the question that he asked, right, first and foremost, he says, you know, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's the main question, right? And so Jesus is answering that question, but maybe in a little different way than we think. So he asks, "How can I have eternal life? You know, what do I do, you know, that I may live forever?" You know, was the question basically. And he says, well, you know, he turns to them and he says, "Well, no one is good except God. You know the commandments," and he goes through all these things. And this kid, right, this young ruler, says what probably none of us can say. He says, "I've kept all these commandments from my youth up." You know, in other words, you know, since I learned, you know, this is the whole idea of the age of accountability. Since I learned what is good and what's right, what's not good, I've done this, you know, since I was a little boy. And then he tells them, because, you know, the key, this is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, but I specifically like the one in Mark because it just has this phrase, and in verse 21, "And then looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him." If you don't understand that, then you can just think that God just wants people to be poor. You know, very easily, and there's a lot of people that preach, you know, in order to be a really godly person, you have to be poor, you know, and materially, you know, or something. But that's not what he's saying here. Remember, he's saying Jesus looked at this boy, and he really had a love for this boy. He really, really cared about, you know, this kid. And it wasn't like one of the Pharisees or another lawyer or scribe that asked some question that really didn't want the answer for. You know, he saw a real genuineness in his heart. He saw a real, you know, inquisitive nature. And he felt a love for him. And then he tells him, "This is what you need to do. You need to go sell what you have, you know, and give to the poor." I heard a Bible teacher say that he didn't tell him to give everything to the poor. You know, I don't know how correct that was, but he said, "Sell all that you have and give to the poor," right? "Give some to the poor and you shall have eternal life." You know, now, if I took everything that I had, I sold all that I had, and I gave it to the poor. Does that mean I get to go to heaven? Right? Warren Buffett, you know, from what I understand is, I don't believe he's a Christian. If Warren Buffett, he gave everything that he had, right, and he gave it to the Gates Foundation and everything else, right? He gave to, well, he didn't give to the poor, he gave to the foundation, you know, but does he have eternal life? No. You know, and so what is Jesus saying? Is the key, right, is it about money? I mean, is this passage about material goods? No, it's not, right? This passage is really dealing with trust. You know, it's dealing, right, because salvation, right, is through faith. You know, and you can never take that element out. And so what was happening is this rich young ruler, he was putting his faith on what he had. Right? His faith was what he possessed. You know, his faith, you know, or ultimately his faith is what we call, what we say trust, right? What he trusted in was his material possessions. Right? That was, in essence, for this kid, that was his God. He may have morally done everything else right, but in his heart of hearts, he trusted in his possessions. You know, and Jesus, he knows exactly what's going on, and so he cuts to the quick, you know, in this matter, and he begins to talk to them and begins to, you know, share with them, well, this, you know, this is a central issue. You're trusting in yourself. You know, and so, you know, he's grieved, you know, he goes away. And then Jesus says, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Is it because they're wealthy? No, it's not. But we understand, right, that a part of wealth, you know, in many ways actually is in some ways the attribute of God. And I'll explain what I mean by that. You know, when people are wealthy, sometimes, you know, and this is not of depicted of all people, but wealth carries alongside of it, you know, a kind of a lie that they can be like God. You know, so when people are wealthy, you know, they feel like they can go above time, you know. They feel like they can go above power. You know, I mean, they have power to do whatever they want, right? They can get away with murder, you know, especially in the judicial system in the United States, you know. I don't know about other countries, but I'm sure it's the same everywhere else, right? You know, money can buy happiness, and, you know, and all these things that you hear about, you know, and wealth is attached to it, this kind of like a God-like, you know, attributes, you know, and so you're saying it's so difficult. It's not really the wealth, but it's how people see the wealth, you know, and basically that people begin to trust in those things instead of trusting in God. And so Jesus, to further along the case, he shares this real, you know, incredible word picture with us. It's actually a Hebrew idiom. And he says, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, right, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, and what is he saying there? Obviously, you know, I don't know if you guys ever sewed anything before, you know, and things. And I mean, it is tough, right? You know, later on, as my mom's eyesight, you know, got worse and worse, you know, and she had to, you know, sew one of my buttons or something, you know, fix one of my shirts or whatnot. You know, I would take the, you know, the thread of the needle, and I would take the thread and put it through the needle, you know, because my eyesight was a little better, even though I probably can't do it now because my eyesight's getting worse, but that's not the point, right? And so, you know, you go through, and it's such a small thing, and for this camel to go through, it was a Hebrew idiom. And what it meant was when you go through the gate of a city, right, you know, the gates were actually very, very small. And so when travelers were passing, you know, through, you know, in their caravans or whatnot, I mean, they had saddled their donkey with all kinds of stuff, their provisions, you know, their possessions, you know, their food, water, all these things. And in order for the camel, you know, and the people to be able to go through into the city, they had to take everything off. And then the camel went through, and then they carried their possession, and they strapped the camel, you know, they strapped the stuff back onto the camel. You know, and the basic word picture that he's saying is, you know, he's telling the people, he said, listen, don't trust in wealth. Don't trust in your possessions, because you can't take them with you. You know, when you get to heaven, you can't take your stuff with you. You know? You know, you carry nothing with you. You know, into heaven, Right? I mean, the only thing you take is your faith and your name. That's it, right? There's nothing else that you have. And so he continues on, but yet the disciples still don't get it. You know, they look and say, well, then who can be saved? You know, they get all confused and they're trying to figure out what exactly is he trying to say. And he's, and, you know, Jesus says, look, this is not impossible. God can do this thing. And then because the disciples didn't get it, now the disciples, they're keeping their focus on the possessions. Right? So then they say, well, surely, you know, if this guy left everything, he got eternal life, then they're saying, you know what, we left everything, Lord. You know, I guess we have eternal life. You know, and Jesus is saying, no, you don't get it. It's not about the stuff. You know, it's not about these possessions. It's not about doing this deed, right? It's about trust. You know, who do you trust for your salvation? Who are you putting your faith in your life, right? And Jesus says to them, right, I'm telling you, no one has left house, brothers, sisters, and, you know, he gives this whole thing, and he says, and you'll receive, you know, does it say in this passage? You'll receive, 100 times as much now in this present life, and then eternal life to come. So it seems like if you just read it straight that Jesus just contradicted himself. First of all, he's saying that, you know, if you think he's saying that it's your possessions or whatnot, then he says, well, if you trust in me, I'll give you 100 times. Now that wouldn't make sense, right? Because obviously he's not talking about possessions. You know, that's not the key of this passage, right? It's a simple area of trust, right? You know, well, ask the question to you that Jesus was presenting to the disciples and his people then. Who are you trusting in for your life right now? Are you trusting in your abilities? Right? Are you trusting in your wealth? Are you trusting in your connections? You know, are you trusting in your intelligence? You know, who are you trusting in your bank account? You know, right now, today, as I'm speaking this, where are you placing your trust? You know, where is the source, you know, of the confidence that you'll walk in right now? You know, are you confident in yourself because you've achieved some stuff in your life? Are you confident in yourself, you know, because you've had some successes? Right? Are you, maybe you're not confident in yourself at all, you know, for whatever the case may be. But where are you putting your trust? You know, and Jesus is saying, if it's not in him, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you got. It doesn't matter how successful you have, right? It doesn't matter what you've achieved in your life, because first and foremost, you can't take it with you. You know, it's the folly of going after stuff. And I heard this guy say this a long time ago. He says it's just pointless. You know, living a material life, you know, and just so you understand, right, you know, that, you know, there are different, you know, demonic entities that govern different places, right? You need to understand, living in, especially in the West, right, you know, that you're dealing with materialism more than anything else. And materialism, not so much in terms of getting stuff, even though that's a part of it, you know, but it's putting your faith in the material world, you know, and, you know, we're called to be spiritual people because we are spiritual people, but, you know, that's another talk for another time, you know, but where are you putting your trust in? You know, the folly of the material world or following after that, right, you know, in dealing with possessions, here you are, you work your whole life, right, and you get stuff, and then when you die, your stuff becomes someone else's stuff. You know, and the guy just said, what's the point of it all? You know, I mean, really, what's the point of it all? You know, and again, right, this passage, this is not about materials. It's not about stuff. It's about the heart. And you notice through the scriptures, whenever Jesus was confronted with people that wanted to talk about stuff, Jesus always brought it back to talking about the heart. You know, and so as we look today, where are you putting your trust? Right? Who is in the center of your trust? You know, where are you putting your faith in? Is it the Lord? Or is it in your abilities, your job, your boss, your company, your children? You know, it's a very Asian thing, right? You know, that, you know, say Asians really don't have retirement plans, you know, like a 401k. It's called sons and daughters, right? You know, so as parents, are we putting our trust in that retirement plan? You know, are we putting our faith in the Lord? That doesn't mean that you should not go get a 401k. I think you should, but you understand what I'm saying, right? So let's close our eyes today. This might be a little too heavy of a thought so early in the morning. But honestly, where are you putting your trust today? Are you trusting in Jesus? Is your faith in Christ alone? Or is it something else? As Jisun leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us today.
Broken, I run to you. Broken, I run to you. For your arms, I'll open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray together as a community. Let's ask the Lord to come and for all of us as individuals and our families and our church, right, that we would put our trust in Jesus alone. If there's anything there that competes with that, remember our God is a jealous God, right? He desires that nothing would come in the way between us and Him. And in that, let's just really pray that whatever it is that we're lifting up above Jesus, that we would cast down, and that Jesus Christ would be the preeminent person in our lives. And let's just lift ourselves up before the Lord and our church in the same way. Let's pray. Let's just lift up people in our community that are going through different things. Let's pray for Eunsung and Janice and their baby Minhee. Let's continue to pray for the baby's back home now. Let's continue to pray for health and just for God's care and hand upon this family, that mother and baby would soon bond, and all these wonderful things would just really flow through this child. And let's just cover this baby. Also, if you could pray our helper Subi, or her father died yesterday, and this happened very suddenly, and so just pray that just the hand of God would be on the family, and as they mourn, that the Spirit of God would bring this incredible comfort to them. Let's pray for members of our community that are going through difficult things in their life right now. And let's just ask God to come and just really minister and just really bring a lot of grace and just the hand of Jesus would really be upon them. And let's just lift up. Our mission focus, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God to continue to bless this city that we live in, that the Lord would just flow through the government officials and they would release righteous decrees and laws. And let's pray for the churches here. And let's pray for the ministries, especially the ones we support with YWAM and sports services. And God would continue to use them to minister. Let's pray for Zhengsheng Association, the college, and pray for the kids in the school, that they would be strengthened and they would break their drug addiction and whatnot. Pray for Shanti Ministries and Godwin and their new center, and ask God to fill that place with people and His presence. Let's lift up Face to Face and Pastor Jimmy and his staff, and let's ask God to use them considerably here in Hong Kong and to the nations as well. Let's pray for Feed the Hungry and for Armando and her ministry, and as they minister to the needs of the poor here in Hong Kong. And let's just really ask God to begin to move over each of these organizations and provide for their needs and bring all the resources that are necessary to do the work of the kingdom and to bless Hong Kong. Well, let's pray. Let's spend a moment today, and let's pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church upstairs, and let's ask God to, you know, really bring His peace and His love and His care to the church. You know, God loves His church, and let's just really ask God to bring healing. And you know, there's a bit of a drama going on upstairs, and let's just pray for the peace of God to come and just the grace of the Lord. And that God would really have His hand, and first and foremost, that the spirit, the enemy that is behind all this drama that goes on, you know, would finally be cut off, and just the grace and the power of God would really flow, you know, through this church. Let's just lift up. Last, let's pray for our move and our building fund. Let's ask God to continue to bless God's people as they give, and pray for our steering committee that they'd be able to find a place for us soon, and that, you know, the vision that God has given to us would continue to expand, and that we would have the facilities to grow in that vision. Let's pray for the Vine and ask the Lord to continue to bless them in their pursuit and in their fund, and that the Lord would really make a way for us to get into their space. Let's just lift up. Father, we bless you today. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you give us this morning to trust in you, God, to put our faith in you and you alone. And Lord, no matter, God, the competitions that are, Lord, moving in our hearts, God, we say definitively, God, with all of our heart, God, that we choose you first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God, we're not focusing on those all these things, God. We're just focusing on you. And so come, God, and just continue to draw us to you, Father. Lord, bless those in our community. Bless those that are overseas, God, that are working hard for you, Lord, and help them to put their faith and trust in you and you alone as well. We thank you, God. Watch over us this day. Help us to give glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do, God. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.